real question is this: how could a fitness and a nutrition entrepreneur survive in this economy? Well, this is the question, and on this podcast, you will find the answer. I'm your host, Joe Olivier, and welcome to Joe Olivier Unplugged. Welcome to episode number 4. Welcome to Joe Olivier Unplugged, where we talk everything fitness. Today, I have a co-host, Shane Hubbard, and he's a fitness professional, entrepreneur, just like many of you out there. And today, we will be talking with him, and he'll be sharing his insight on what's going on in the marketplace right now, and sharing some of his tips and tricks and strategies that hopefully it helps someone out there to grow their business better and to become a better person overall. So welcome, Shane.
Yeah, thanks, Joe, for having me. This is an absolute pleasure, and I feel honored to be talking to you right now.
Yeah, man, same here. I really believe now more than ever is to share information and give back to the community, you know, give back to fitness professionals and entrepreneurs like ourselves, just give back raw, high-quality information without any fluff, yes, raw information. So I'm happy to have you as well on the podcast. You know, so as we begin, tell us a little about yourself and, you know, a little history about yourself and maybe education or your background, how you came into fitness and stuff like that.
Sure. Yeah. So I got into the world of fitness and nutrition I was sort of guided, but at the same time, I kind of wandered through it. I grew up in Los Angeles, California. I come from a long line of athletes, so I got into athletics as soon as I could walk. I started with baseball and moved on to other sports like football and basketball. But baseball is my main sport, and my dad was a three-sport athlete and an all-star in all of those. And my grandfather actually went to the minor leagues as a pitcher, and then he blew out his arm. And we have a kind of an interesting history of injuries. My grandfather blew out his shoulder, and my dad blew out his shoulder, and then I had Tommy John surgery. So if you have any idea of the sport of baseball, Tommy John surgery is a pretty popular surgery. So our arm genetics are pretty bad. But that being said, I grew up playing sports. And then in high school, I was getting really tired of the politics that were involved in sports, and I was getting passed up to play by guys that were just brown-nosing the coach, and so I quit. I said, you know what, I'll just go play, you know, an adult league, which is, you know, basically baseball without the politics. And as a result, I kind of lost what I had already naturally been involved in, which was activity. I was just used to going to practice and burning calories that way, and I lost that routine, and so I had to kind of figure it out for myself. Within about a year, I was approached by my dad, who had talked to his dad, and he was big into nutrition and fitness, and he kind of asked me, would I be interested in doing, you know, like kind of like bodybuilding, so to speak. And I was like, what's that? I was like, what's bodybuilding? That sounds like, I don't even know what that entails, other than, you know, just, you know, lifting weights. And so anyway, I didn't fully get into bodybuilding in the sense that I was competing in the sport, but I went to the gym, I started lifting weights, and I started going on bodybuilding.com and looking at the forums and trying to figure out and optimize. You know, I got really interested in it. So that was kind of my segue into fitness as it is as a self-improvement device. And then after that, I went to college. I had really no idea what I wanted to do because I had graduated high school and stopped playing baseball. And so I went to college and I was like, you know, maybe I'll be an audio engineer because I was really into music. And then I stumbled across a nutrition course they were offering. And I said, well, you know, might as well. I've already been trying to do nutrition on my own through the bro science sort of thing. Let's try to figure it out from a more scientific standpoint, or at least a more education, like a richer education standpoint. So I went into my nutrition course, and by the time I was halfway through the course, I was, and I don't mean this to brag, but I had just already done so much research that I was actually pissing off my nutrition professor, because I was asking questions and contradicting what she was saying, because the information that she was using was outdated, and the information that I had was more updated, because I spent a lot of my time on the internet, and as you know, the internet information is, you know, 10 times faster than a study that's done in 1995. And then it's actually released in 2000. And then the main public knows about it 10 years later. So as a result, I kind of felt let down by the education system, at least from that junior college that I was going to. So I was doing more research on independent methods of learning how to become a nutrition professional. And so I was in Los Angeles, I found a company through the Czech Institute, which is a holistic lifestyle coaching program in San Diego. And so I enrolled in their program. I did their level one and their level two. And I came out of that knowing more than probably 95% of my peers, at least in that field. And I felt, you know, good about that, but I didn't really know where to go from there. Like, I wasn't a dietitian. I didn't have a degree at that point. I had dropped out of college to go pursue this holistic lifestyle coaching program. And it didn't really have like a, when you got out of it, it didn't really put you into the business side of things. It just kind of said, here's a bunch of information. Now you know how to coach people, but it didn't teach you how to build a business. And so I ended up getting a regular job, you know, a regular 9-to-5 job. I pursued kind of coaching on the side, but I really didn't know what I was doing from a business standpoint. And then I got laid off from that job as a result of the economy. And then I said, now's a good time to, you know, actually pursue a career in fitness. So I got my training certification. And ever since then, I've just been trying to train as many people as I can. I've been trying to learn as much as I possibly can in person. And then about 2.5 years ago, I started my online business that I've tried to pivot a lot of my time towards, and I've learned a lot of things. I've learned a lot of things of what not to do. I like to learn the hard way. If you've known me growing up at all, then you know that I learned the hard way, which tends to be my preferred method of learning. But I've made tons of mistakes, and feel like at this point I'm now have a little bit more ground underneath me to actually build a business and do it the right way, especially online.
Yeah, man. So tell me, so you went through the hard way. So if there was a tip you wish someone to tell you before you started off on your journey, what would it be?
That's a great question. You know, if I had to rack my brain for something I wish I knew when I first started, I would say that if you're hesitant to start because you don't know where to start, do not worry about that. Nobody who gets into a profession that, I mean, we all start from zero, especially like the online space is a relatively new space, not only for trainers, but just for business in general. Like the idea that you can have an online business is still a relatively new thing, and it's not well known that that's a thing. So if you're kind of hesitant, just get started with doing some research, like, you know, some basic research. And then what I would recommend doing is after that is to find a reputable mentorship program or a coaching program that can get you what you need. And if anyone needs recommendations on that, I can obviously provide that. But I would say just get started. If you don't know where to start, do the research first. Get some kind of coaching if you can. You can afford it. Any kind of coaching, even if it's a small level, like, you know, a private group that you can be a part of for like $50 a month. Just get your feet wet, because nothing's going to happen unless you start.
Man, you just hit the nail on his head. Just get started, because I think what makes a lot of fitness professionals fail is fear. You know, they're fearful of the unknown. So they make up and they make belief the results, which is not there, you know? So they think about how they will fail, what people will think, I cannot do it, I don't have the money, and there's a slew of excuses. There are more excuses why they want to fail than why they want to succeed, you know? And I saw that amongst a lot of my friends. You know, I think what he was talking about earlier about information, I think we live in an information age, and like fitness pros like you and me, many of them fail to realize the information is at the fingertips, so they could actually get it from that big daddy Google or again like Czech Institute, as you said, and different organization. The information is there, you know, if you really desire to have it, it's there. There's no excuses why not. School, as you said to me, is outdated. I sometimes regret I went to school and spent $120,000 on a degree. I'm thinking to myself, if I knew what I knew now, that money I would have invested in my business. I'd be
right
far, far advanced, you know, in a shorter space of time than wasting 4 years on all information, you know, which is to me ridiculous. You know, next thing you talk about was mentorship, and that resonated with me a lot, because when I first started in the fitness business, you know, I got my certification and I started working for Bally's, you know, back in the days. Some people don't even know about Bally's, you know. It's but when I started
True. At
Bally's, one of the GM at that time, he told me, he said, Joel, you have the gift of gab. You need to be in sales, not in personal training. And there was like a back and forth with the district manager, so they ended up putting me in sales. And there was a guy, he took me under his wing, and he started to tell me, listen to me, all you need to learn how to do is connect with people, understand the community you're dealing with, the type of people you're dealing with. And he said, just talk the language. That's it. And learning from him, he was my first mentor. And he told me, learn as much as you can, different strategies, and make it your own. And that information at that time, that was a long time ago, I took it at heart, and I indulged myself in so much information. And to me, one of the easiest and the cheapest information is books. To me, there's a lot of expert will spend 1 year, 2 years telling you everything you need to know about that specific thing. Although it might be a little outdated, but just getting one nugget from it could take you to the next level, to me, you know. So when you said mentorship, I could relate to that 100%. When you talk also about online business, you know what, when you say it was fairly new, I understand the precept, but when you go back far back in the 90s, let's say the 90s, they used to sell workout DVD and cassettes. You understand?
Through
the TV, you know, the infomercial, and they tell you you can lose weight, and you buy it for $10 and they ship it to your house, you plug it into your VCR or your DVD player. And that was the first kind of online platform, you know. And then it continued to trend and trend, and the first people who jump on those wave made a ton of money, like Les Mills and was some of the pioneers, and a couple others out there that pioneered that online space to actually go on and make money as a personal trainer, you know. And then you have the P90X guys and stuff. They are personal trainers like you and me, and they are millionaires doing it differently, you know, using technology to actually make it happen. So when you talk about the stuff, I could resonate with that. I could see it, and I hope other fitness professionals could actually see that as well. So if I should ask you, what type of tips or strategies should, in your experience, should a personal trainer or gym owner use right now to, I shouldn't say succeed, but to actually make money in this time period? Because you said you're in the online space, and many of them fearful of online. Most personal trainers, they are not tech people at all. They don't have no Instagram page or nothing like that. They don't post before and after pictures. They don't do nothing like that. Most of them don't, you know. What strategies or tips would you give them, especially in a time period like this? So hopefully it helped them to at least get something out of it and apply it into their business and their life.
Sure. So what I would do is I would try to take whatever you're already doing in person and just try to pivot it to an online atmosphere. So for instance, if you're a group fitness coach and you coach, you know, on average 15 to 30 people in a group environment, and it's, you know, whether it's a Zumba class, or if it's like a weight class, like a weight training class, or maybe a body weight class, whatever it is, just do your best to pivot that to an online space. And yeah, you know, I realize that a lot of trainers, I'm a younger generation. So if you're an older trainer and you're, you know, maybe you're not as savvy with technology, now's the perfect time to learn, because you're not in the gym and you have a lot of free time. You're going to have to develop some new skills. And if you don't have the skills to use technology to your advantage, I hate to, you know, make it seem like it's survival of the fittest, but it really is. You know, this is the fitness world is moving online, maybe at a snail's pace, but right now it's exposing a lot of gyms who don't have an online option. Like, there's lots of gyms right now who are just sitting at home, you know, gym owners or, you know, trainers that are just sitting at home, not knowing what the heck to do. They're just trying to wait this storm out instead of trying to, you know, have that kind of entrepreneurial drive to figure out a way to make this work best for them. And some of the things that I've already decided to start doing is I've opened up some of my, like, I have fitness groups. I have private groups on Facebook where people are already spending a lot of time, and I've decided to do what I call my quarantine program. And so I've written a couple of workouts that people can do. I've cut out some time to do, you know, question and answers on that Facebook page. So, you know, Facebook's really nice because most of us know how to use it. It's an environment that we're already on. We don't need to do anything. Facebook's, you know, basically creating the platform and the environment for us. All we need to do is, you know, set up groups or invite our friends and just say, hey, I'm offering this for free. You know, it's free for the first month, let's say, or free during this, you know, quarantine period. And I'd like to help either jumpstart your fitness routine or keep your routine that you already have going. And what the way that I view it and the way that I've been taught through my own mentors is that a lot of times, especially during difficult times, you do have to put some stuff out there for free. It's not always going to be free. And it's certainly not your best stuff for free always. But you have to build relationships with people, and it's an easier barrier of entry if they don't have to commit a ton of their money in a time where they're not really sure where their money's coming from. A lot of people, a lot of our clients, like my clients in general, have been laid off. So they're not really sure where, you know, what their, you know, stimulus package or unemployment's going to look like. And so I made a decision to do something for free and show your value to people at a cost that is no cost to them. And sure, it might, you know, cost you a little bit of your time, but at the end of the day, you're not doing anything anyway, or you're probably not doing anything anyway, unless you have a side job. So why not make the most of it by exposing your value to people who otherwise might not see it, because, you know, they would have to pay a ton of, you know, money to work with you and then see your value. And then when this whole quarantine is over and you know, whether these people are, you know, in your city or in a totally different city, they're going to see your value and they're going to remember you when they want to, you know, purchase fitness. Because it is, like we had talked about previously, is, you know, fitness, really getting clients, keeping clients, and having a business is building relationships. And if you can build a relationship, you know, for free, you're eventually going to carry that relationship further into your business, into a paying environment. Because what I've seen, at least to kind of finish off this rant, so to speak, is that a lot of times the barrier entry is the only thing that's stopping somebody from working with you. If they have to spend $1,000 a month, let's say, to work with you, that's a huge jump for some people. If they can see your value without it costing them anything, which is why having online content that doesn't cost them anything to view is so valuable, because they see your value. And then when they're ready to, you know, pursue their fitness goals or pursue their weight loss goals, they think of you and they choose your business. And so it's, you know, it's essentially marketing. It's content marketing in so many ways. Does that answer the question? Kind of went off on a tangent there.
It's good. It's good, because if you say content marketing, again, for a personal trainer, it's like, huh? What's that? So for you to be right, elaborate and break it down and talk their language, you understand that much better than saying email marketing or content marketing. They watch at you like, with the eyes bright open like a deer. So I like it.
Yeah.
You know, but so I have a question now. So you're saying to pivot online, right? And hopefully take all your business online and use the technology like Facebook and different social media platforms to build community. What about...
Absolutely.
The thing is this, personal, again, I talk about fear, the fear of success. That's why they're failing. That's why they're not making hundreds of thousands. There's a fear inside. And I'm saying that because I talked to a lot of them. I have a lot of them as colleagues as well. And we started around the same time, and I'm way past them. And I see it's fear. So moving online, they might be thinking they're perfection. They might want to be that perfectionist. Okay, I need lighting. I need mics. I need a studio to record my stuff. What would you recommend them to do? Because we are quarantined, so we can't move. What would you tell them to do? What kind of tips you could give them, dear?
Yeah, absolutely. So real quick, can I curse or should I just keep it clean? Okay, I would say, well, I just want to be respectful. So I would say is that what I've learned is your clients don't give a shit how perfect everything looks like on your Instagram. Like, that was actually a big fear of mine is like, what if I don't look like a professional? And yes, if you're just rolling out of bed and you haven't like washed your face or done your hair and you don't look presentable, obviously that's a different story, but you don't have to have the perfect lighting. You don't have to have the perfect microphone set up. You don't have to like, you know, have a perfect backdrop. That all comes with time. What people value when they tune into you and your content is the value that you can provide them so that they can drive them towards their results. That's all they care about. If you're presenting, if you care about the content, if you care about the value you give people, that's what they're going to remember. They're not going to remember what you were wearing or what your background. Like, I do workouts in my garage, and my garage is relatively, you know, neat, but it's still a garage. It still has junk in certain places. And one of the fears that I had was, is that people are going to think I'm lazy or I'm sloppy or like I'm unorganized. And when I was talking to my mentor, he used the exact phrase. He goes, they don't give a shit. Everyone's garage looks like that. You know, so this perception that you have to be like, you know, a multi-million dollar trainer lookalike in order to get started is that's just bullshit. Like, you don't have to look that way. If you can create content that's valuable to people and you can do it with some level of, have a room that's clean, like, you know, don't just have stuff all over the place, you know, do your best to keep it organized. But, you know, I just do videos in my office with a camera pointed, you know, towards me with a wall that's gray, and you know, people aren't caring about the wall that it's, you know, not the right color or this or that. They care about the information they're getting, because then they can take that information, apply it to their own life and start seeing improvements. I've had people reach out to me and go, thank you so much for this content. Like, you can't believe like the place that I've been in recently. This video helped me out a ton. That's what they care about. They're not going to remember, you know, how professional your setup was. Now, going forward, if you have the means to buy you can buy a lot of equipment these days when it comes to like a microphone, or if you have a phone like a somewhat recent iPhone. The camera on that thing is better than some cameras you can buy, you know, out on the market. So just use your phone. I have a little microphone that I use that cost me $35. It plugs into my phone and the audio is crystal clear. So you don't have to go out and spend, you know, hundreds of dollars or even, you know, thousands of dollars to get a perfect setup. Just do what you can with what you have. And trust me, it's the value that people want.
I agree. Definitely agree. When you talk about community too, I resonate with that. It's using like, again, social media to build that community. And as you're saying, with that community over time could build trust, because you're creating the contents, as you said, you know, and you're creating value by giving back to them, seeing that you're still with them, you're sharing the information, building trust. I could see that happening, and because the people at home, as you said, they're home, and right now they don't care. They want to get out of the depression, anxiety that they're getting because of the quarantine. They might be putting on weight, because it takes just 2 weeks for your muscle to start to decrease, you know? So, you understand? And so they are starting to see the results being home. They putting on weight, they're eating more, and that just driving up the blood pressure and other issues. They want to lose the weight. They want to stay healthy. They don't want to get the corona, because, you know, they say the people who's getting affected is obese people or people have underlying issues and elderly. So, you understand? So they don't want to get sick. So they are looking for you and me to help them get where they need to get to. So trying to get that perfectionist mentality off of your mind is where you need to be at right now to make the money and to help the people right now. So I should ask, what area in the fitness industry, I shouldn't say that. Let's say, well, actually, yeah, why not? What opportunity right now in the fitness industry is ripe for the picking for fitness professionals? I know it's a kind of tricky question, but I say it because of...
No, it's a good question. Yeah, no, it's a good question because my interpretation might be different than yours, but I think that we'll get some good insight. So the way I see it is people for the first time are being forced to stay inside, probably in their lifetime. Mm-hmm. They're being forced to basically stay inside. So they have to kind of MacGyver their fitness in a way. And if you're not familiar with MacGyver, it was a TV show in the 80s where he would take like a pencil and tinfoil and create a bomb. Like he would know how to do things with very minimal equipment. So that's kind of what you have to do at home right now. You have to be able to change your routine such that you can do things like body weight workouts or, you know, put water bottles in a backpack and use it as a, like almost like a body or use it as a weight to increase your squats or lunges or whatever you might be doing. So you're going to have to get creative. So if you're a trainer out there, what I would recommend doing is find ways to get creative with things around the house that can be used as weights, or, and if not, do it at the same time, start creating a library of body weight workouts that people can do at home. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, they're forced to do pretty much, you know, most people don't have like a plan B at home gym. Trainers might have it because it's just their industry, but a lot of people don't have like weights at home or anything like that. So what I would do is they've completely lost their routine. That's the first thing that's important to understand. They've completely lost the routine. Their whole entire life has basically been turned upside down. So they've lost the routine. If you can just get online and start providing content on a daily basis, it doesn't have to be like a whole lecture on, you know, how to work out, you know, at home, but every day just pick one little topic and say, this is how you do body weight squats, or this is how you do a proper lunge. Provide them value in an environment where they're missing a lot of that because they're used to going to the gym and maybe seeing a trainer or going to the gym and doing a workout routine. You right now as a fitness professional are the guiding light for how to make this work at home. And, you know, as a trainer, you probably know how to take a barbell squat and modify it at home. Maybe, like I mentioned earlier, get a backpack, put some water bottles in it or whatever, and start doing front squats. Or you could put the weight overhead and start doing, you know, squats that way, whatever it might be. Get creative and provide information. Because, like you had mentioned, there are people out there that are completely confused and have no idea what they should be doing. If they start seeing your content, you know, they're going to be like, oh, wow, this person is providing value in a time where I have no idea what I'm supposed to do. And by providing that value, you're taking a huge opportunity to prove to people that you not only know what you're doing from a professional standpoint, but that you're highly adaptable. You're basically changing your business to go, I'm going to make it work for what's going on right now. And they're going to remember that. They might not need you for bodyweight workouts in the future, but they're going to remember that time that you provided value for them when no one else was, or other people were scared to, or other people weren't willing to do the work. So that's why it's such an awesome time to expose yourself as a valuable member of the fitness community, because like you had mentioned earlier, there's not a lot of people that are doing anything right now. And if you can be one of the ones that are, that's going to be like the people that first discovered Facebook and put stock into it, right? Because it was a new company. It's kind of a similar environment. You're putting stock into yourself by using this exposure to give yourself a leg up, essentially.
I agree. You just said something that triggered something in my mind, and I say to myself, more than ever, this is the time for all gym owners and personal trainers, Group X people, to use this opportunity to become an expert, to be mm-hmm. an expert to a group of people. Not everybody. You don't need everybody. 10,000, 5,000, 60,000. You just need to be famous for a little group of people, specialize in that niche, and share the content and just become an expert to that group of people. Create fans, like you said, the community for that amount of people. Because, as you said, after the wave is done, the people will know you, they will trust you, they like you, they want to do business with you, or they're already doing business with you. And you mm-hmm. might be making so much money during the quarantine, the people might like you so much that they don't want to leave. They want to continue that online experience because of the value created for them. And you yourself as a trainer may not want to leave that platform because you're making more money. You can service more people than one-on-one or small groups of 20 to 40 people. Now you could actually service thousands at a time. So you might be making more money, having more time to spend more time for yourself, vacationing with family, friends, loved ones, etc. So I think this time is a nice time, and I'm enjoying every moment of it, actually. I'm enjoying a lot.
So am I.
You know, so I hope those who are listening now could actually see and start to get an insight of the opportunity there is right now. There is the opportunity for you to really break loose and make a lot of money. And the bottom line is make a lot of money in parking a lot of lives, you know, because we first Absolutely. Get involved in the fitness and nutrition, most of the time wasn't for the money. It's because we like it. We have a genuine Absolutely. Love for it, you know. And so now you're doing something you love and you enjoy, and you're getting more money than ever in your life. Come on. I think you should jump on the bandwagon now, you know. So that's
Absolutely.
That. You know, I wanted to ask you, you know, you said to pivot online. Would you say, I wouldn't say if it's hard or not, but if someone gets stuck trying to pivot, what tips or strategies should they look into?
So if they're pivoting online and they get stuck, could you give me like an example where they might get stuck?
They could get stuck in many things. Again, technology, again, many people,
right.
They use the phone, the text, they go on Facebook, Instagram. That's the furthest with technology they know. Most people for the first time ever is actually going and shopping online for groceries. You understand? First
right,
time in
yeah,
their life, they're
true.
Actually ordering food, like cooked food or something. First time. So, you know, although they may be old or young, the situation is forcing people to go online. And this is the third time in my lifetime I see this, you know, was the Y2K, well, not the Y2K, the 9/11. I saw it a lot happening after 9/11 to like say 2006, then the crisis hit again, and then people went back online again, you know, and buying a lot online. That what choked the music industry, you know, because of the crisis. That people wasn't going
sure,
out
yeah.
to buy the CDs and the vinyls again. They just stayed online and they bought it, you know. So I think like this wave now that people are going online, they're getting stuck with a domain, website. There's a thought of like credit card processing. To them, it's like too much, you know, or what's the opt-in page or who? They are confused. Like, how should I price myself? A lot of shit, you understand? Because pricing the stuff, they're saying, I shouldn't price myself the way I used to because they may not want to buy. So there's many ways they could get stuck. And all this stuff is mental issues. You know, they are not real because there is an audience for everyone. Some people could still pay comfortable $100 or $200 or $300 for service. But the service, the value that you provide had to be more than the, I should say, the service that you're offering, the money they're paying. They should say, okay, I'm spending $300, but I'm getting $1,000 in value. That's the thing. People don't mind spending the money. They're spending the money right now like crazy. Amazon is out of stock, first time in history. I'm looking for shit on Amazon and I can't find it. They're telling me 7 days, and I'm a Prime member. I get it every, I buy it today, I get it tomorrow, you know? I'm like, shit,
right.
No more Prime, damn it. So Amazon is running out. So people is buying, they're spending the money, they're willing to spend. So, but what I'm trying to say is, they will get stuck, you know, either again,
right.
Domain or what name should I do? Should I have an opt-in page, a sales page? I'm confused about website or processing. those kind of stock I'm talking about, what strategies or maybe tips you could tell them that hopefully it could calm down the anxiety and they could still push forward and do something?
Okay, perfect. Yeah. So what I would recommend doing is going back to the Facebook. Facebook is already a website that has all the design. And if you create a group on Facebook, and it's a private group, so it's, you know, there's that exclusivity that people feel, you have the ability to upload like actual documents that could, you know, have the workouts on them. Like, that's what I do with my group, is that I create a document on my computer and it just has all the information that they need, like whether it's the workout and how to do it. And then you can upload that on the actual Facebook group, and then the people that are part of the group can download that. So in terms of like the technology setup, like you mentioned, like an opt-in page and all this stuff, don't worry about that right now. That can be something that you build over time. Like, that's what I did. I started building that over time. And I think within a year I had most things organized. And then the year after that, what I did was, is I figured out how to create a system for that. So I had all the pieces, but I didn't have a system where somebody would pay and then they would go to this page and this would give them all the stuff they need to do. And then they would schedule a meeting with me. Like, that all comes with time. But if you just want to utilize and get started right now, a Facebook group is the best place to do it, because all of that hard technology stuff is pretty much already taken care of. You could probably go and search how to create a fitness Facebook group, let's say. And it would provide you with all the information you need. You can also do live videos. So like, if you want to do a live workout or just do a live Q&A, you can do that within your group. If you just wanted to write some text or do like a pre-recorded video that talks about a specific topic and upload that to your group, that would be the best way to do it. Just start by, you know, utilizing Facebook the way it is, because all the technology is already figured out. Use that as an opportunity to right now create value and give value to people. And then when all of this blows over and we go to what will hopefully be some kind of a normal life at that point, then you can start doing, and you can do this research in the meantime too. It's not like you have to wait until quarantine's over, but do the research and slowly build kind of your own website domain and your own, email list and all that stuff. That is definitely important. I recommend doing that, but trying to figure all that and get it built and then start providing value, is you're going to miss the boat. So use a platform that people are already on to build your awareness, to get the kinks out. Like, I started doing Facebook live videos and like Instagram stories, and I was terrible. Like, I remember going back and watching these videos and going, why did anyone watch this? And I realized that people cared about me as a coach. True. They were my clients. They cared about me. So you can use the platforms that are already built, get your feet wet, become an expert in those things, and then start building your own domain. Because yes, eventually it's important to have your own domain because you have control of your audience. Facebook controls your audience when you're on their platform, which is perfectly normal and fine. So utilize that right now. And then as you get more tech savvy and you learn more, start to build your own environment off of Facebook. And that's really easy. You take that group and you say, hey guys, I've created my own website. I'm basically going to do everything I was doing here on this website or some semblance of that. Come visit me here. And pretty soon now you have control over your audience. So that would be my overview of what you should do right now.
Yeah, I think it's cool, you know. So the fear of having a website, you don't need it right now, according to what I'm understanding. So you could just create the group and create whatever offer from in the group, and you could give them a link to purchase if needed, PayPal or something maybe, if you do have something to offer. But yes, I understand right. And I agree with you 100%, 110%. So guys, if you hear that you don't need a website, you could still actually, again, use a platform like Facebook or LinkedIn to create your own audience, you know, your little community. Let them trust you, like you, and I can guarantee they will buy from you. So now we create the community, right? How long would it take, you think, before people start to act to want to buy from you? Do you have any like ideas in the sense of your experience?
Yeah. So like, let's pretend that we're not in quarantine. We have no idea what's going to happen in the next month. Let's say that it's normal life. And what I'll typically do is, depending on how much effort I want to put into it. Like, I've built a system now where basically for a month, I offer some kind of semblance of what my online coaching programs look like. And I do it, like I mentioned, on a Facebook group. And I just do that as of ease for the client or for the potential client. And I basically just create an environment where it's like a 28-day challenge. And these are the things we do in the challenge. Here are the workouts. I would like for you to take photos of your food and post them on the page and just get them involved. Mm-hmm. And what you'll start to see is when people are being held accountable, when they have some direction from you, what it starts to look like, they start to see your value. And then after that month is over, that 28-day challenge is over, what you do is you then say, hey, thanks for joining the program. I saw a ton of you guys got a lot of value out of this. I'm really proud of everything that you've done. If you'd like to continue this, this is what I offer. And you basically offer whatever coaching program you have. Maybe you have, kind of like group nutrition coaching or group fitness coaching, or maybe it's pretty much the exact same thing they were doing in the 28-day free, except now you're pivoting it into, like, if you would like to continue this, like if, you want to be a part of a community that can help you reach your goals even further, this is what it costs per month. And I've had people that continue with the group. Like, I have an option for basically just continuing the same thing they were doing before. You know, a month, as we know, is for fitness professionals. A month really isn't a long enough time to see serious results. Yes, you can see results, and you might get some really good progress photos and stuff like that. But it takes months and sometimes years for people to really, get the sustainable value they're going to get out of a journey like this. So a month is really just a fraction of your time anyway. You're not going to be producing, 30-day Biggest Loser challenge type results anyway. So you offer, they're going to be compelled to want to continue. Some people have reached out and said, I would like to work with you one-on-one, because as much as I love this group, I feel like it would be more valuable to me if I had more of your immediate attention. And so, as long as you have something to offer them after you give kind of this trial period, you'll be set. That's essentially how you pivot it. And it's not even really sales, because you've already sold yourself through the value provided. Like, I think, at least for me as a trainer getting into the business, I was really afraid of like having to sell. Like, I'm not a natural salesperson. I've realized that I kind of am as I've gotten, more into it, because selling isn't about sitting somebody down and trying to convince them that they need to buy your coaching. You prove to them why you are valuable in the market, and then they choose to spend their money on you. And you can correct me if I'm wrong, because you might know more about sales than I do, but you essentially provide value, and they see that value, and they have no choice. They have a choice, but they trust and they like you. And so that speaks volumes for putting money in your pocket, because if somebody can trust you, then they're willing to spend money, whatever it takes to get the result that they want. So anyway, that's typically what I do, and that's what I'm doing with this quarantine period, is I'm saying, here's a month worth of coaching. Some people are going to love it, and they're going to say, awesome, I'll sign up for your, whatever you're doing. Some people are going to be, I won't say cheap, but some people are going to just take the free thing, and they're going to just say, oh, well, I can do it on my own. And if you're afraid of there being those people, there's always going to be those people. And let me tell you something, what I've learned, at least in my experience, is that the people that are always trying to get the value from a paid product through free products are always going to have a problem. Like, there's very few, if none, that are going to succeed getting all your free stuff. Like, they're just not going to. And on top of that, if somebody is just trying to go around and shop for, like, if they're just, an example I like to give is if they just go to Costco and eat the samples but don't buy anything, then they don't want to be your client anyway. Or you don't want a client like that anyway, because the amount of effort they're going to put into your programs are pretty small, at least in my experience. Like, I've had a few people that have done my free stuff, then they go into my paid stuff, and they weren't a good client to begin with. They're lazy. They don't want to put the work in. They think that results are just going to happen. So, anyway, that's my experience with it. And, that's typically what I will do when I offer something at a lower cost and then offer my full programs later.
You talk about free. I think every personal trainer or gym owner, yoga studio owner, all experience those type of people. I call them the coupon hustlers. They go on Groupon and all these other coupon sites looking around to see what they could get for free or really cheap. And they could come to your facility and use it for a whole month, and hopefully they get some results, and they bounce around from gyms to gyms, studios to studios. There's a lot of those people. those freebie people, they love it. They will just, again, go around just looking for free sessions. And hopefully they're thinking if they go around enough, they can lose the weight. Those kind of people damage business. And some people tell me that I am sometimes too harsh, but I kind of sift them out. I'm being honest. But especially, you see, when you see you run ads and you pay for ads, you know, you can kind of sift out those people. So even if they opt in through the opt-in page or whatever way they come in, right, I'll actually go through a call and I will talk to them and just feel them out and ask them certain questions with love, nothing too poking. And I vet them out for myself. And sometimes I might say, hey, I realize I may not be a good fit. However, I know a good personal trainer who are willing to help you out and they could get you the results you desire. So I have a list of personal trainers or gyms that I refer people to. And they gladly take it. They're like piranhas. They don't care. Just give them a fish, they'll eat it. You know, they don't care what.
Right.
They're just hungry for money. And I have a list of those guys and I just feed them it. So headache people I know who's coming with coupons, not coupons, but coming for freebies or looking to get some results and cancel. If I feel them out early, I just send them away. I even give them a free month of nutrition. That's the funny thing. I kick them away with something. So there's no bad blood, you know?
That's a great, that's awesome.
You know, I send them away. So even if 2 years down the line, they say, hey, I went by this guy. He's really good. He might be a little expensive. And, you know, and all I can work with him, he gave me this free month of nutrition. You know, something like that. And when you're talking about...
Everyone's a referral.
Yes. That's how I look at it. Everybody's a referral. So
leave
on a good note. At least it's a memorable note. So at least they'll say, wow, this guy was cool. You know, although I couldn't afford him, you know, he was cool. I like him. You know?
Right. And that's what's important. Absolutely.
You know, when you're talking about sales, I think you nailed it. You know, there's many moving parts to sales and there's different theories on sales, like hard sales, soft sales. But when you talk about using contents and to actually show your value and your worth and to give back, I think that is a really cool way to indoctrinate people so much that they just want to do business with you so you don't have to sell. You know, you could just say, which one do you like? The red one or the purple one? You know?
Mm-hmm.
You just give them an option because they already like you. It's like a friend. Me and you are talking. And you come over by me and I have, let's say, 2 Ferrari for sale and I know you have the money. I say, which one you want, man? Take which one you want. And he say, okay, I'll take the purple one. I say, cool. I don't have to sell you. You understand? Right. So I think what you said about contents and creating videos and putting yourself out there, people see your personality, they like what they see, they like what they're getting, they're seeing micro results from the information. They know you're a good person. You understand? They could feel empathy, which is the next thing I think we have to implement in every story, every letter, everything we say. We should always relate to their issues. You know, like let's say I know you're struggling with that muffin top because I myself used to struggle with the muffin top. You understand? So, is there any other tips or strategies you would like to share with the audience?
You know, I think we covered a lot of this. If you're somebody listening to this right now and you're maybe still a little bit fearful of getting started, I really would encourage you to think in terms that when you're getting started and your perception of failure it will develop over time. But I think that the more you can realize that failure really isn't this thing that you might have been taught in school or been taught in life. There's a great quote by Winston Churchill, which I think goes, I'm going to butcher it, I'm sure, because I don't know the exact verbatim quote, but it essentially says that if you can go from failure to failure with the same amount of enthusiasm, then you will always succeed, which basically means that if you can fail at something and take it as an opportunity to learn more about and continue to learn more about and try to perfect or at least improve upon your last failure, then you're really not failing. Failing comes when you don't do something right or you make a mistake and then you just give up and then, you know, you don't ever pursue it again. That's what failure really is. So if you really have a passion for this industry and you really have a passion for helping people and you come from a standpoint of empathy, then I really don't see, I mean, yeah, you might get discouraged at some point because, you know, maybe the people that you're speaking to aren't getting on board with your message, or maybe they don't understand, but there's always an opportunity to try to improve yourself in this industry. And if I could list out all the times that I failed, especially when it came to, you know, being an effective coach, like I've not always been an effective coach. I've always had empathy and a work ethic that puts me into that next category, at least, you know, separates me from other trainers. But I certainly did not start, I wasn't born with innate coaching abilities. I wasn't born with exercise science or nutrition information. I had to work and learn that stuff. And if you always have the attitude that you're trying to improve, no matter how many times you fail, that is how you succeed. There's no like special formula or like, you know, everyone should have this education. It's literally just, you know, persistence. So that would be the last thing that I would say.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much, Shane, for joining me today on this episode. And is there any way, let's say some listeners listening and they just want to maybe connect with you, you know, and reach out to you, is there any way they could do that?
Yeah. So if you're, if you have social media and if you have things like Instagram and Facebook, YouTube, you could just type in Shane Hubbard Fit. Like my handle is @ShaneHubbardFit. I have a website that has a contact tab. If you want to contact me, it's just ShaneHubbardFit.com. You can go to my page and there's a button, press contact and just write me a little message. If you're a fitness professional out there and you know, maybe you want a little bit more insight as to how to get started, or maybe you know, want me to share with you what I've learned, feel free to reach out to me. I'm always willing to help. Most of my content is geared towards, you know, working with people that want to lose weight. So that's what a lot of my content is. But if you're a fitness professional and you're going to reach out and just connect, I'm always excited to meet new fitness professionals and talk. And there's always something that I can learn from you as well as you might be interested in learning something from me. So like Joel said, the more you can share with other professionals and the better we can make the industry, the better we're all going to be off.
True that. So thank you again. And thank you everyone for listening today on Joel Olivier Unplugged. Until the next episode, peace and success.